Good afternoon once again to all of you, and happy Sabbath. He came from a middle-class family. His great-grandfather was a former senator and governor of Mississippi. He later became a leading actor and comedian who had been in the business for over 40 years. He rose to fame in the mid-70s as a leading actor on a situation comedy series. He was voted one of the 50th greatest movie stars of all time. Despite appearing in over 60 movies and being recognized as one of the top celebrities of his generation, the success was not enough. Her father owned a road construction company in the Midwest. When she grew up, she became a successful businesswoman and fashion designer. She and her investors eventually sold her business for $93 million. In 2016, she would start another business, but it was not enough. He had worked for an energy company for 10 years and served as the vice chairman of the company. He earned $22 million from company options before stepping down from his position. Less than a year later, Congress began investigating the company, and they wanted to interview him. He never made it to the interview. This person had his own television series on the Disney Channel. Then in 2013, he had a starring role in a police drama series. Although he was a promising young actor, the success was not enough. Despite their accomplishments, all of the individuals described here chose to commit suicide. The action of killing oneself intentionally and voluntarily. Suicide is the 10th leading cause of death in America, according to the Center for Disease Control and Prevention. 49 out of 50 states saw an increase in suicide rates, and 25 out of the 50 states had suicide rates that rose more than 30% since 1999. Nevada was the only state not to see its suicide rate rise during the years the report studied, most likely because that state had a consistently high rate of suicide, the sixth highest in the country. Why is the suicide rate so high in Nevada? Nevada is a state where Sin City, otherwise known as Las Vegas, exists, where many gamble their livelihoods away. The place where marriages have ended, businesses are dissolved, and loans go sour. In 2016, nearly 45,000 people in the United States died by suicide. That's over 120 people per day. Suicide costs the United States $69 billion per year, according to the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention. Men die by suicide 3.5 times more than women. According to the 2015 Youth Risk Behavior Survey, 8.6% of youth in grades 9 through 12 reported that they had made at least one suicide attempt in the past 12 months. Girls attempted twice as often as boys. Some believe that money can combat suicide. that all you have to do is just throw money at the problem and eventually it will go away. That those additional funds could be used to research and develop better non-toxic drugs that do not cause side effects such as depression and anxiety. But church, the problem is way more deeper than money. Mankind has a habit of dealing with the symptoms and the effects, but refuses to deal with the cause. There were at least two attempted suicides in the Bible. Please turn to 1 Samuel chapter 31. 1 Samuel chapter 31, where we read of a battle between the Philistines and the Israelites. 1 Samuel chapter 31. We will begin at verse 1, 1 Samuel chapter 31. 1 Samuel chapter 31. It reads, "Now the Philistines fought against Israel," verse 1, "and the men of Israel fled from before the Philistines and fell down slain in Mount Gilboa." So you see where we are already. Israel, who's supposed to be the people of God, are running. They're fleeing out of fear. "And the Philistines followed hard upon Saul and upon his sons. And the Philistines slew Jonathan and Abinadab and Malchishua, Saul's sons. And the battle went sore against Saul, and the archers hit him, and he was sore wounded of the archers. Then," verse 4 said Saul unto his armor bearer, "Draw thy sword, and thrust me through therewith, lest these uncircumcised come and thrust me through and abuse me." But his armor bearer would not, for he was sore afraid. Therefore Saul took a sword and fell upon it. And when his armor bearer saw that Saul was dead, he fell likewise upon his sword and died with him. So Saul died, and his three sons, and his armor bearer, and all his men that same day together. How did it get to the point where King Saul and the Israelites were running for their lives? How did he get himself in this position? Please turn back to 1 Samuel 15. 1 Samuel chapter 15, where God commanded Saul to destroy the king of the Amalekites and all who supported him, sparing no one. And as you probably know the story, King Saul did not listen. And after Saul confronted him and made him aware of his sin, this was Saul's response. 1 Samuel chapter 15, we will begin at verse 24. And Saul said, verse 24, 1 Samuel 15, "And Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Eternal and thy words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Now therefore, I pray thee, pardon my sin and turn again with me, that I may worship the Eternal. And Samuel said unto Saul, I will not return with thee, for thou hast rejected the word of the Eternal, and the Eternal hath rejected thee from becoming king over Israel." Skip to verse 28. "And Samuel said unto him, the Eternal hath rent or torn the kingdom of Israel from thee this day, and hath given it to a neighbor of thine that is better than thou." Saul ultimately attempted to commit suicide because he rejected God. He rejected God's principles and he rejected God's commandments, believing that his way was better than God's way. He tried to go it alone in this life without God, the giver of life. His disobedience caused God to say that he regretted ever making Saul king of Israel. Backsliding and grieving God's spirit led to Saul's attempted suicide. This was an attempted suicide because Saul was not able to complete the task. You don't have to turn there, but in 2 Samuel, the first chapter, it is noted that Saul requested that a stranger, a foreigner, and a Amalekite complete the task of taking his life, and that Amalekite did so. The second suicide attempt can be found in the book of Matthew, chapter 27. Please turn there. Matthew, chapter 27. Matthew, chapter 27. Again, another story that you're familiar with. We'll begin at verse 1, Matthew 27, verse 1. And it reads, "When the morning was come, all the chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. And when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, What is that to us? See thou to it. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself." Judas Iscariot, one of the 12 disciples of our Lord and Savior, made the decision to betray Jesus Christ of Nazareth. He willingly delivered up the innocent one to be condemned, scourged, and put to death for money. Judas Iscariot forsook principles and prudence and instead embraced selfishness and greed, which eventually led to his successful suicide. Many believe that those who commit suicide suffer from mental illness, but according to the CDC, more than half, or 54%, of the people who died by suicide did not have a known mental health condition. Other factors that trigger suicide include the following: relationship problems, husband and wife aren't getting along, boyfriend and girlfriend are having a rough patch, one decides to part ways with the other, and as a result, that other makes the decision to end his or her life. Substance misuse is another factor. The person is using drugs or alcohol to try to obtain that certain feeling, reach that certain high, and fill that void in their life that only God can fill. They're looking for a peace that only the Almighty can provide. Physical health challenges are other factors. The person's health has significantly deteriorated. They now need help to get around. They're used to being self-sufficient. Now they believe that they've become a burden on their own family. They're tired of being a burden. They're experiencing excruciating pain. To them, this isn't living. Financial woes. Suddenly, they're in debt. The medical bills are too much. They tried to start a business. They borrowed money and they can't repay it. They're leveraged and now their assets are about to be repossessed. This is exactly what happened to one of the richest men in Germany in 2009. He was heavily in debt, even though he owned a bunch of businesses, and he made a decision to take himself and to throw himself in front of a train. Legal woes. They have to pay alimony to maintain their former spouse's standard of living. They can't afford that and their monthly expenses. Something has to give. God knows and is aware of our problems before we ask Him. He wants us to face those problems courageously with Him at our side. Here are ways to avoid suicide. Please turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Where we read of the Apostle Paul chiding the church about suing one another. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. We'll begin at verse 18. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18. It reads, "Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without or outside the body. But he that commits fornication sins against his own body." What? "Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? For you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." The first thing we must do is we must remember that we are not our own. Someone who is higher than us and who is greater than us thought enough about us to give up his own life because he felt that we were significant to him. He felt that we mattered to him, that we were valuable to him. Secondly, recognize in this verse that we have been bought, that we have been purchased. We have to have the mindset that we cannot take our own lives because it's not ours to take. We belong to him. He owns our very lives. And so for us, suicide is out of the question. Please turn to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, where the church was being taught to practice Judaism in order to be saved. Subject that Paul had to address. Galatians chapter 5. We'll begin at verse 16. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, it reads, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would like to do. But if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now, verse 19, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. The third thing we must do is walk in the Spirit. We must allow Jesus Christ to live in us. We must allow Him to guide our very lives. Accept His answers to our questions. Don't try to substitute your answers for His answers. Trust Him, obey Him, don't grieve Him. We'll be happier that way, and we will be at peace and walking in the Spirit. Please turn to Isaiah 52. Isaiah chapter 52, where we read of the Lord's suffering. And this is a passage of scripture that we normally read annually, the Lord's Supper. Isaiah 52, we'll begin at verse 15. Isaiah 52, beginning at verse, we're going to begin at 13. Isaiah 52, verse 13. It reads, "Behold, My servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. As many were astonished or appalled, stunned at thee, his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. So shall he sprinkle or atone or expiate many nations. The king shall shut their mouths at him, for that which had not been told them shall they see, and that which they had not heard shall they consider. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Eternal revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground." Dry ground being this world, this society. "He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he had borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted." Scripture says that Jesus Christ became accursed for us. "But he was wounded," verse 5, "for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Eternal hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth." The fourth way to avoid such a tragic event as suicide is to recognize how our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ handled his own circumstances. Jesus Christ came from heaven, the throne of God. He left that throne to come to this earth. Before he came to this earth, he knew that he would have to fulfill these verses. He faced temptations from Satan every day during a 40-day fast and beyond. He allowed himself to be subjected to mankind, who is as the grass that withers away. He had to deal with insults from his enemies, who implied that he was illegitimate. He left immortality for mortality and allowed himself to be beaten, spat upon, and falsely accused. If there was a person who could have taken his own life, it was Jesus Christ of Nazareth. If he, though, willingly withstood all of that grief and all of that hardship by the Spirit and power of Almighty God for us, we can do likewise. But it's not by our own might, nor is it by our own power, but by the Spirit of God that we overcome. Please turn to the book of Mark, chapter 11. Mark chapter 11, where the subject involves a fig tree. Mark 11. We'll begin at verse 19. Mark chapter 11, verse 19. And when even was come, he went out of the city, Jesus did. And in the morning, verse 20, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, said unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which you cursed, I believe in verse 13, is withered away. And Jesus, answering, said unto them, Have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he said shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he said. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. Number 5, pray with faith. Maintain a faithful prayer. Don't just pray. Let us go before God with the belief that God will actually hear us when we pray. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man, a righteous woman, a righteous person avails much. Pray for that woman who's suffering from postpartum depression. Pray for that person who's being intimidated and bullied each day, that God would intervene in their lives and rescue them from their suffering, because it makes a difference. Let us not tear up one another with gossip. Let us strive to pray with faith, to maintain a faithful prayer. In 1 John chapter 2, the Apostle John was believed to be an elderly man at this point, who was giving instruction to the churches at Ephesus at the time of this writing. 1 John chapter 2, if you would turn there. We're going to start at verse 13. 1 John chapter 2. And verse 13 reads, I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because you have known the Father. I have written unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. Please turn to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John 4. And look at verse 4. 1 John 4, verse 4. It reads, You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The common theme here, church, is overcoming. Remember that we are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ. Each day that we hold fast our faith in Christ, we are overcoming. The words overcome and conquerors have the same Greek root word. The Greek word for overcome is nikaio, and it means to carry off the victory. The Greek word for conquerors is huper nikaio, and it means to gain a decisive victory. To be victorious, we have to cast off fear. We have to be courageous. So let us remember that we are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ, whatever the circumstances that we're facing. And the seventh way is to think about the people whom you are considering to leave behind. The ones who care about you, the ones who believe in you, the ones who are inspired because of you and the things that you've done. Don't break the hearts and tarnish the hopes of the people who love you very much. I mentioned earlier that since 1999, suicide rates in America have increased by 30%. The following is an excerpt from a recent article on the subject of suicide by J. Warner Wallace. It reads as follows. He says, while many researchers have studied the connection between mental illness and suicide, it's important to note that more than half the people who commit suicide are not identified as mentally ill. So what else might be contributing to the rise we are observing? It may not be a coincidence that during this period of increasing suicide rates, the influence of Christianity has been declining in America. Fewer Americans claim to be Christians than ever before, and fewer yet know much about what Christianity teaches. As the impact of Christianity decreases in America, I believe our suicide rate may continue to increase. Why? Because the primary goal for us, or for most of us in a post-Christian nation, is happiness rather than holiness, success rather than significance. Temporal or temporary success and happiness are often elusive, and even when they are within our reach, they're no guarantee against depression and suicide. The more temporary our goals, the more fleeting our sense of satisfaction and purpose. Conversely, when our sense of value, self-esteem, and joy is grounded in something that transcends our immediate circumstances, we are far more likely to survive hardship and find lasting satisfaction. When you believe in someone who's greater than you, who provides hope through the scriptures, you can overcome hardship in anything. It continues, or he continues. Studies continue to find that religious people in America are more engaged with their extended families, more likely to volunteer, more involved in their communities, and generally happier with the way things are going in their lives. Religious believers are also less likely to attempt suicide. One study found that religiously unaffiliated subjects had significantly more lifetime suicide attempts and more first-degree relatives who committed suicide than subjects who endorsed a religious affiliation. Another study discovered that women who attended religious services once per week or more were associated with an approximately five-fold lower rate of suicide compared with those who never attended religious services. In addition, another survey found that countries that are more religious tend to have lower suicide rates. There is an established relationship between religious belief and suicide. As belief increases, suicide efforts decrease. Christianity, which is the dominant religious belief in America, they say, provides a framework for pursuing significance and a strategy for navigating hardships. That's why suicide rates are likely to increase if Christianity and the very practical benefits it provides continues to wane. And there is an excellent article in the 21st Century Watch magazine that addresses this subject that's entitled Don't Let Life Happen, which I encourage you to read. For the final scripture reading, please turn to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. It's the Apostle Paul addressed the subject of justification through faith in Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 5. It reads, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into his grace," or into this grace, "wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation works patience, and patience works experience, and experience works hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given unto us. For when," verse 6, "we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly." God uses hardships and trials to build our character and to develop the resolve to trust in him through obedience and faith and repentance. I understand that resisting suicide is easier said than done. The struggles of this life can be overwhelming and challenging. There are people in this life who blame themselves for things that cause the afflictions and the deaths of others. The Apostle Paul comes to mind. He had to live with the fact that he caused the death of Stephen, a faithful Christian and deacon. David, king of Israel, had to live with the fact that he triggered the death of Uriah. But when you think about the lives of most of the apostles and people of God throughout the centuries, many of them, after being sentenced to death, could have made the decision to take their own lives. They were burdened with heavy hearts. Their consciences bothered them too. Instead, they chose to be courageously martyred. God does want us to live, or does not rather want us to live life as if we've been defeated. He wants us to recognize the hardships that are before us and to rely on him to get through it. For as John said, we have overcome the enemy. Besides Judas Iscariot and King Saul, there were four others who committed suicide in the Bible. We already read about Saul's armor bearer in 1 Samuel 31, who took his life after he thought King Saul was dead. Samson, in order to avenge himself of the Philistines, asked God for strength to cause the house that he was in to collapse, destroying not only the Philistines, but his own life as well. Ahithophel, who was a counselor of Absalom, hung himself after Absalom rejected his counsel to attack King David while he was at his weakest point. And of course you have Zimri, who was a king of Israel, who burned himself in his own home after the people discovered that he obtained the throne by committing treason and murder. In all cases, each of these individuals, with possibly rather the exception of the armor bearer, chose a position that opposed godly principles. The scripture said that God departed from Samson. God departed from Saul. Zimri walked in the ways of Jeroboam, which included idolatry and Sabbath breaking. Suicide is always possible when one makes the conscious decision to pursue life without God. It didn't have to end this way for them. It didn't have to end this way for the people that I described at the beginning of this message. They left before their time was up. They were gone too soon. And that's the title of this message, Gone Too Soon.